Today's shir is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Lamed Beis. We will begin on Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph, the second line. In the previous shir, the Gemara had introduced the concept of Zalus de Beit Dinah. When, if and when, were Chazal concerned about the honor of Beis Din, that a Beis Din had issued a psak, we don't reverse the psak, because we're interested in preserving the honor of the Beis Din. And the Gemara had quoted a braisa, which had discussed a situation of a person who had been identified as a kohen, and then there was a question about his kuna and back and forth. And the Gemara had attempted to say that perhaps that question in that braisa is connected to our discussion. So says the Gemara Ela Hacha, says the Gemara Ela Be'eretrei. What happened is that in order for there to be a valid claim against something, we always need, the error has to be issued by two people. But says the Gemara, the Hacha B'mayiskinen, what is the machloikis in this price between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Elazar? Kigoyin demachzikin alei bavu dahai dekoyin hu. That we were certain about a certain individual whose father it was a kohen. And because we had that chazaka, obviously, if somebody's father is a kohen, the natural assumption is that his children are kohanim as well. But then a kol emerged that the ben grusha ben chalutzahu, that even though his father is a kohen, but that didn't help him because there was a call that he's a ben grusha on ben chalutza. There are many points that are made when we speak about this call. The one point that the Yad Ramah says is that the call that we have to be concerned, the rumor that we have to be concerned that this boy is not a kohen, is only if it emerged the moment he was born. But after somebody was established his whole life as a kohen, says the Yad Ramah, and so too is the opinion of the Rajba, then we just don't accept the call to dismiss him from being a kohen. And the Rajbam says that kol ba'alma. So it seems that the Rajbam's opinion is that any kol, it doesn't make a difference where the kol was said. Once we have a kol, once we have a rumor that this person is not a kohen, that's something that we need to be concerned about. And that's the opinion of Rashi as well. However, the Ritva's opinion is that a kol is only considered a kol for which we need to be concerned about if it was a kol that's in a Beis Din. If it's not a kol in Beis Din, it's not a kol that we need to be concerned about. So again, v'nafkal akolah, there's a kol that emerged, the ben gerusha ben chalutza, there's ben gerusha chalutza, v'achtinei, and based on that kol, we removed him from being a kohen. V'aseid echad, and now an eid echad arrives and says the kohen who, that he is a din kohen, v'asiknei, and based on this, we made him a kohen again. And now, v'aseid betrei, and now two eidim come and say ben grusha ben chalutzahu. And they say he's not a ben grusha ben chalutza, fechtinei. So we removed him. Why, asked the Taz, do we have to have two eidim to say that he's not a kohen? Even if there were just one eid saying that he's not a kohen, why wouldn't we disqualify him? Because we now have two eidim. One eid says that he is a kohen, one aid that says he's not a kohen. So says the Taz, since the first call, and a call also that he's not a kohen. So he says, the call that we started with, says the Taz, we ignore. Because once one aid came and dismissed that call becomes irrelevant. So we're left now with two aidim. One aid saying that he is a kohen, one aid saying that he's not a kohen. He has, as we started the shir, a cheskas kuhuna. So since he has a cheskas kuhuna, that we don't take away. So the Tosfos points out, when are we concerned with a kol, and when are we less concerned about a kol? He says, even though he quotes the Gemara in Masechta Gittin that says "Ein mevatlim kol," and we, even if there are edim, we have to be concerned about the original kol. So Tosfos explains to the Tosfos the Remask of Asa that in a situation where the woman has options, so there the question is the woman an Eishes Ish or is the woman not an Eishes Ish? So it's much less of a concern because she could always marry someone else. But here, if we disqualify this person from being a Kayin, so that's not fixable. That's why we are quicker to dismiss a Kol. So at this point, he's being treated as a Kol. And now, so what happens, also by Treva Amri, the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. Now two Edom come and say it's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So now Vichtenei, we removed him from being a Kayin. And now another aid comes. So we have a total of two aidim that say he's a Kayin. The Kul Alma, and at this point the Gemara is saying everybody's agreeing that two aidim, even though they did not come at the same time, but Starfin Laidis, they can be combined for one aidis. Says the Gemara, so what is the Machlaikus if we do or don't accept him as a Kayin? Says the Gemara, the question in the Gemara today is, are we worried about the Zelusa Beidina, where Bezdin keeps on flip-flopping? Rebbe Lezer's opinion is, Kim Dachtenu, once Bezdin removed him from being a Kayin, Loi Mafkin Alei, we can't make him into a Kayin again, even though we could combine the two Edim that say he is a Kayin, and even though when we combine that with the existing Chazaka that he's a Kayin, he should be treated as a Kayin. The reason being, because Chashinu L'Zelusa Beidina, we're concerned about Bezdin's Kavod. Rishim Gamliel Sover, Anan Achtinan, Anan Maskin La, we were the ones that made him into, it's all within the purview of Bezdin, and therefore, if according to the halacha, as we've been explaining, given that the two pairs of Edom cancel each other out, so we then fall back to the chazaka, well, as Lus to Beidina, the honor of Bezdin, says the Gemara, Loi Chashinan, we're not concerned about the Zlus to Beidina, the fact that people will see that Bezdin is flip-flopping. So Rabban asks, why was it necessary that to have one, then two, then one? Why can't we just say if we have two and then two? And why did the Gemara have two people said that it's possible? And because of that, the halacha is that we dismiss him from being Kayin. And then two people said that he's a kosher Kayin. And now the question should be that Zelus LeBeidina. So the Ramban answers that what the Gemara is trying to teach us here is that we could dismiss a Kayin just based on the edus of one aid. And the Gemara is saying that the Machloikus is that are we concerned of Lezusa Beidina? Says the Gemara. Maskel of Rashi, says the Gemara, if that's the case, Mayir Yechad, why does it have to be this way? I feel of a trey nami. Even if two Edom came, the halacha would be the same, because we're worried about Bezdin's covet. And therefore, because of this question, Alam Ravashi, the Kulama, everybody is of the halacha, Lecha Shinan L'Zlusa B'Deibdina. We're not concerned about Zlusa B'Deibdina. Bezdin has to do what's right, even if it means going back and forth. But here the question is, we had two Edom, but the two Edom did not come together. And the question is, can two Edom that did not come together be combined? And says the Gemara, that's a machlokes tanoim that we're going to discuss right now, that we find in other places in Shas, that we find in other places in Shas, can we combine Edom that aren't coming at the same time? So at this point, the Gemara has said that Loi Chashinan Lezlus Beidinim, we're not concerned about Bezdin's honor. We have to do what's right. However, says the Rosh, in the Shas of Tshuva Sarosh says, Umish Kivalov Dayin Echad, if somebody accepted upon himself a Dayin, the Nigmar Adin and the Dayin Paskind, any Cholim Lachsben, they can't back off. Api Sheshreim Sratbehem. Even if the two Dayonim, even if the two litigants are willing to recognize that the Dayin made a mistake, they're not allowed to change it because it's disrespectful for the Dayin. And everybody asks the question, the Beis Yosef included, if both parties are agreeable, why should they not be allowed to change their mind? So the Ramah says, and the Rash Shach says the thing, that of course the Rosh does not mean that they two litigants can make whatever arrangement they want between themselves. But what it means to say is that they can't change the psak of Bezdin. They, with money, with my money and your money, we could agree to whatever we agree. But we have to respect the opinion of the Bezdin. And once Bezdin issued a psak, that's the psak that we have to follow. The Beis Yosef and the Bach, this is in Chosh Mishpat Simcha Beis, say that what it meant to be say is that these two litigants may not go to another Bezdin. Because going, that is included in the concept of Zelusa de Beidina. And that is included that going to another Bezdin after Bezdin has issued a psak will be a Zelusa Beidina. However, there are many different conditions. And that is that when are we concerned about going to another Bezdin, which is an extension of the concept of Zelusa Beidina, and when are we not? So the Bach says that if we want to change a psak, so that would be a Zelusa Beidina, would be disrespectful to the Rav. But if it's a situation where new evidence has come forth, new facts that have come forth that change the entire situation, so there he says that's not considered Zelusa de Beidina. Zelusa de Beidina is where everything is the same. And now Bezdin has to admit they made a mistake. And I saw the Cheshuke Chemed has a similar discussion. We know that after Shavuos, that a Shiva Shemei Melum, since Shavuos was only one day Yontif, so the 7 days after Shavuos, we don't say with a Shiva Shemei Melum, were days where, since Kabbanis could be brought on those days, we, even nowadays, unfortunately, we don't have the Mizbeach anymore, but we don't say Tachnun. And there's a very relevant question, because in Eretz Yisrael, Yontif is only one day. So the 7 days begin from the day after Shavuos. In Chutz Laaretz, where we have 2 days Yontif, there are different Minhagim. When do the 7 days begin? Do the 7 days begin including the second day of Shavuos? Because the second day of Shavuos is really not Yontif Midaraisa. Or does it begin the day after Shavuos? And many begin counting the 7 days from the day after Shavuos. But certainly that's only halacha in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Laaretz. In Eretz Yisrael, everybody agrees that the 7 days begin the day after Shavuos. And he discusses a situation where there was a Rav from Chutz Laaretz who was in Eretz Yisrael, not realizing that in Eretz Yisrael there's no question that the halacha in this question is different than in Chutz Laaretz. And therefore, when that day, which in Eretz Yisrael everybody agrees we say Tachnun, but there are those in Chutz Laaretz that don't say Tachnun, he was davening in a shul in Eretz Yisrael, and he said that they shouldn't say Tachnun. And the question is, it was clearly a mistake. And The question is, do we not say Tachnun because of respect for the Talmud Chacham? Or do we say Tachnun because that's what the Halacha discusses? That's what the Halacha requires. And he quotes a Trumas Adeshin, where the Trumas Adeshin discusses where there was a get written in the city of Vienna. And they had to write the word Vienna in Hebrew. And there's a question, how is Vienna spelled? With two yodim or with one yod? And somebody wrote the get, a Rav wrote the get with one yod, even though most people apparently write the Vienna with two yods. And the Trumas Adeshin apparently paskined that you don't have to give, we should write another get. It's a question of an Aseshis. So if that's the case, we should probably hear too say Tachnun again. But he of course says that we have to always take into consideration, as we're discussing, the Zelus de Beidina. We have to take into consideration, part of the consideration is the cover of the Rav. So when we're speaking about a get, and if the get is not a kosher get, the repercussions are of course very, very serious. So therefore, even though the cover of the Rav may be affected, we have to do what we have to do. And in the case of Tachnun, of course we're supposed to say Tachnun every day, but it's not the same as saying as a get that's not possible. So even though the psak that he issued was clearly incorrect, the kavod of the Rav should be taken into consideration. And since the kavod of the Rav should be taken, since the kavod of the Rav should be taken into consideration, it seems that he feels, that the Chushik Chemet feels, that we should just leave it and not repeat the Tachnun. But now our Gemara said that the Machloikis here is an entirely different Machloikis, where we had one aid saying that he's a kosher Kohen, two Edom saying that he's not, and one aid saying that he is. And the question is, can these two Edom combine? The Tanya, the Brisa says, La'olam eina dusum etzterefes. We don't combine the testimony of two Edom, ach yirushneim ke'echad, until they both see what they're testifying about at the same time. They don't have to be saying the same thing at all. Rather, he says, if on one aid says that on Sunday he saw Shimon borrow $100 from Reuven, and then the next aid says that he saw it on Monday, so not only are they not testifying on the same Maisa, they're really speaking about two different things. But the bottom line of both of these is that based on their testimony, Reuven owes Shimon money. And if that is enough to combine the Edus. But now we have a Machloikis. Ein Edusim it's the Refes Bebezdin, but the Tanoim disagree and say the two Edim cannot combine until they say testimony together. No. Shimon Devarim Shalzeh Hayoim L'Chashav Chavera L'Mach Shimon Devarim. So we see that this question of Edom combining is a Machloikis Tanoim, and that is going to be the Machloikis in our Gemara as well. Of the two Edom that say he's a Kosher Koyin, can they combine? Reb Chaim Brisker asks a question that we know that in Shas we often speak about a Shtar, and we often speak about Kiyum Shtaris. And what Kiyum Shtaris means, the simplest way of doing Kiyum Shtaris, is by each aid that signed on a shtar testifying that that's his signature. But why is that not considered two distinct aids? And since it's two distinct aids, how could they combine to make the shtar into a good shtar? So the Reb Chaim Brisker answers that when each aid is speaking about his signature, the point of his aidus is not to speak about his signature. The point of their aidus is to make the shtar into a valid shtar. And these two people are both accomplishing that So even if you hold ein edusa mitzarefes, here will combine. The of course is that if the Gemara has said that the opinion that holds the edusa mitzarefes is even if they're talking about two different stories. How can we combine two different? How can we combine two different stories? So the answer is that we don't look at the story. The look is at the money. And the money is they both are saying that Reuben owes Shimon money. That's the Nesivus' approach. The Shari Yosher's approach is that what is the purpose of Edus? He says the purpose of Edus is to get to the truth. Since the purpose of Edus, the whole purpose of Edus is to get to the truth is that Reuven owes Shimon money. And since they're both agreeing that Reuven owes Shimon money, the fact that they're not talking about the same story is immaterial. Rabbi Chanan has a similar approach. Rabbi Chanan says the purpose of Edus is to tell us what the halacha is. And if based on their Edus, the halacha tells us that these two people, that this person owes the other person money, that's the only consideration that we should be thinking about. The Tumim discusses when Rabbi Shuman Karcha says that the two Edim who speak about two totally different episodes combined, is that Midaraisa or Midrabonim? He says it could be that Midaraisa, even Rabbi Shuman Karcha, holds that they don't combine. The proof being that, as we're going to discuss, that in certain situations we see that certainly they ate them and not mitzdarif when we speak about din and nefashis. So it must be that this is a special rule midrabanon with a concept that we speak about often in shas. Kadesh lo yitin lo delos b'fnei lovin. We want to encourage people to lend other people money, and we want to make it easy for the malva to be able to get back his money. So really, midaraisa, the halacha will be that they don't combine. Here, it's a new din derabbanan. Or, the Tumim says, that we could suggest that even midaraisa, the halacha is that edusa mitzarefes. But there's a difference in hilchas edus when we speak about edus on dini mamonis, where there the halacha says that they can combine, versus dine nefashis, where they can't combine. And therefore, says Ma, if two Edom will come and speak about a Kedushin, that if somebody was Mekadosh a woman in front of one Ed, and then he did the exact act, same act of Kedushin in front of another Ed, everybody will agree that those two Edom don't combine. Because the Rama explains, and this goes back to what Rav Shimon actually said, the point of Edus by Dine Mominus, the point of Edus by Dine Mominus, explains the Yad Rama, is to get to the truth. Does Reuven owe Shimon the money? Does Reuven not owe Shimon the money? And the fact that two people are testifying that Reuven owes Shimon money is enough for us to indeed say, you, Reuven, have to pay Shimon the money. The Edus by Kedushin, explains the Yad Rama, is not to establish what is the truth. The point of Edus by Kedushin is that there are ways a Kedushin are affected. And there are conditions that the Halacha tells us when a Kedushin is a valid Kedushin and when a Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin. And what the Torah says, in order to make a valid Kedushin, it has to be done in front of two Edom. So it's not that we don't know the truth. It's not that we don't know that there are two people that are testifying that this man married this woman. But if there weren't two people who were there as that was happening, then the act of Kedushin is not a valid act. The Mordechai discusses a situation. We know a Saita becomes a Saita where a husband warns her, don't be alone with a certain man. And one aide says, I saw her alone today with this man. And another man, aide says, I saw her the next day alone with this man. Can they combine? So the Mordechai says they can't combine because we have two people that are testifying that this woman was alone with a man that her husband warned her not to be. The Achrayim and Rishayim discuss what is the opinion of the Ran in this question. The Beis Yosef in Chosh Mishpat Siman Lamed says that the Ran holds that this is a question of Dinin Nefashis, because ultimately a Saita, if she's an Eishes Ish that had an adulterous relationship, is Chayiv Misa. And whenever we are dealing with an issue of Dinin Nefashis, the two Edom have to come at the same time. But the Beis Halevi and the Noda Behuda say that the direct issue by Eidei Kiyur is not Dinin Nefashis. It's not that these two Edom are coming to say that this woman is Chayiv Misa. The point of them is to say, the point of what they're doing is to say that she was alone with a man that she wasn't supposed to be, and now she had stira, and therefore they hold that they can combine. The Rama in Chosh Mishpat Siman Lamed Daled Sif Chav Ches discusses a situation where somebody came and said testimony on a certain individual that individual is a ganef. And then another person said, and because he's a ganef, he's disqualified to say edus, to be an aid. And then another individual came in and said that I know this person lent money with ribbis, and the halacha is that such a person is possible for edus. So even though, says the Rama, each one of these people is speaking about a different situation, the halacha is that they do combine to declare this person as a possible aid. What about Eide Knas, where one aid comes in and says, I saw somebody's animal injure another person's animal on Sunday, and another person says, I saw him damage that person's animal on Monday. Can those two aidim combine? The opinion of the Taz is that just like by Ishus was saying that they can't combine two aidim, so too Knas. Because knas, he says, is a punishment for a specific act. And that punishment is not given, it's a financial punishment, but it's a punishment that's only given when two people saw it. And that is the opinion of the Tumim as well. The Tzais disagrees. And he says, again, as we said earlier, when we speak about Ishus, the halacha is that without two Edim, the halacha doesn't view that that story happened. The Kedushin didn't happen. Here it's a question: if Reuven's animal damaged Shimon's animal, Reuven is obligated to pay Shimon. If that is the case, the Eidus is, does Reuven owe Shimon money? And since Reuven is based on the testimony of these two people, that Reuven owes Shimon money, they could combine. The Tzais says, "What's going to be the halacha if somebody said that Reuven owes Shimon money because I saw this happen on Sunday?" And then another aide says, I saw Reuven owe Shimon money on Monday. So Reb Shimon Karchan al-Gemar has teaching us that the halacha is that Mitzafenei Dusan, and the aides of these two aidim can combine. But now, ask the Tzais, we have a halacha throughout Shas, the Eidei Shabbat and Mektsasa Bat L'Kula. If we have two Eidim coming to say testimony together, and one of them becomes disqualified, so we discover that one of these two Eidim is a disqualified Eid, he's a possible Eid. We discover that one of these two Eidim is to one of them, so his testimony is disqualified. Will we say in this case that Eidei Shabbat and Mektsasa Bat L'Kula? The opinion of the Tzais is that we do. However, the opinion of the Achiezer, Rav Chaim Oizer, is that just because Beis Din is combining these two testimonies doesn't mean that these two Edom came together. And since these two Edom did not actually appear together, says Rav Chaim Oizer, even if we're going to combine their Edus, it would not be a situation to say that Edus Shabbat L'Mitzasa Bat L'Kula. Another question that the Noda Behuda discusses, that if Reuven told Shimon, you owe me money, But he said, you owe me money from two different cases. And now, so these are essentially two separate Dinei Torah. In one Din Torah, one of the Dayanim said, well, he doesn't owe him the money. But the other two Dayanim said that he does. And the other Din Torah was just the opposite. So at the end of the day, we have two Dinei Torah. He might have won or lost both Dinei. He might have lost both Dinei Torah, but it wasn't the same Dayanim. Can we combine them and say at least between the two Dinei Torah, he owes money? We have Roiv Dayanim that he owes money. Interestingly enough, the Noidim Yehuda says we do combine. Reb Baruch Tam says that each Din Torah is considered a separate Din Torah, and since each Din Torah is considered a separate Din Torah, we pass in each Din Torah in separately, and whatever come out from one Din Torah is what we do, and the other Din Torah is irrelevant to our discussion. Says the Gemara, Hudam al-Khavri, somebody said to somebody else, my boss, Bahai Ara, why are you on this piece of property? Amalei, the Nachsvinta, I purchased this property from you for Hashtara, and this is the document backing up that I bought this property from you. Amalei, so the person who's challenging says, Shtara Zayofahu, it's a false star, and therefore it cannot be used to prove that you are on this property. Gochen, so this person who made this claim about the star whispered to Rava in, yes, shtar zayofahu, it is indeed a shtar zayofa. However, mishmir shtar me'al yahavli, I did have a good shtar, but what happened was, v'irchas, I lost it, and therefore, v'amina, so that's why I decided, in kidhai biyadi kadu, I'll bring the shtar. So the Rishonim all discuss how could he have relied on a shtar, which is a false shtar, and the shtar would have been caught as a false shtar. So the Rishonim give another number of explanations. One explanation, which is what the Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, is that, and the Gemara speaks about this often in Shas, and that is that they used to write a shtar amona, where somebody was going to purchase a property from somebody else, and to show that was about to happen, I would imagine in the world that we live in, it could happen where somebody wants to get a mortgage. So even though the deal has not been consummated and you're able to go to the bank to be able to ask for a mortgage, you have to show some sort of a documentation that I have gone through with this deal. So that was a shtar amona, and he presented that's called a shtar amona, and he presented the shtar amona as if it was a good shtar when it really was just the proof of intent. The Yad Rama has a different explanation. He says that we're speaking about a case that, and the Rambam learns it the same way, that the person had the names of the Edom forged so well that nobody could ever tell that they were a forgery. And since nobody could ever tell that it was a forgery, then that's why he technically could get away with the shtar. And the halacha is that and therefore he said, I could have presented the shtar. I'm being honest and saying that this shtar is not the valid shtar. I had a good shtar and I lost it. The Marik, based on this Gemara, says that what happened here? We find that this person whispered into the ear of the Dayan. And that's sort of difficult to understand. Isn't everything supposed to be open in the Bezdin? And if anybody wants to make a claim, they should say it openly. And the Marik says that, no, so here we learn that the Dayan's job is to come to the truth. As we learned, the Gemara says, Kol Dayan Hadon Din Emes Lamitai. And when we learned that Gemara, the question is, of course the Dayan has to be Dan Din Emes. What is a mental Lamitai? And the answer is, that it's the obligation of the dying to try to get to the bottom of it, to get to the truth. And here, that's exactly what happened. Rabbah tried to extract the truth. This person wasn't going to make this admission publicly, but Rabbi tried to extract the truth in any way that he can. And from here we also see, says the Rashba, that even though somebody knows that he is innocent, you know, the end, what we learn from here in our Gemara is that the end does not justify the means. And even though this person knows that he deserves to win the Dentira, he just doesn't have the proper documentation. It doesn't give us the right, to do something which is a lie. And therefore, here, he wasn't allowed to say, he was obligated to say the truth. He was obligated to say the truth, even though it meant in his mind that he was going to lose the entire that he was supposed to meet, that he was supposed to win. Das Kanim, however, says that there are circumstances that the halacha says that if we see that somebody, Rahman Slan, is a Rasha, and we need to undo what he's doing, sometimes the means justify the end. And I saw Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky takes it a step further. He says, why was the Dayan not concerned about his reputation? If people will see that the Dayan is speaking privately with just one of the two litigants, won't that be a concern of people thinking that the Dayan is acting improperly? So he says that since this is considered a situation of Ados Baldin, that therefore maybe by Ados Baldin we could be more lenient, similar to what I think the Marik means to say. Otherwise, he says that the Dayan, of course, made sure that there should be witnesses in the room. There should be witnesses in the room listening to what is being said privately between the Dayan and this litigant. Amar Rabba. So Rabba now needs to paskin the Shaila. And Amar Rabba, Mali L'Shakar, we should believe him. Because if he really wanted to, he could have gotten away with it, as we've been saying. He could have said, Shtara Malyahu. So Rav Shimon Shkop says, what does Amigui mean? Amigui means that I have a claim. The claim is not so strong. And the Amigui makes my claim stronger. Here I wasn't relying on a claim, but I was relying on the shtar. A migui cannot strengthen a shtar. So if a migui can't strengthen a shtar that's puzzle, how do we want to rely on that shtar? So says Reb Shimon that this person was primarily relying on the chazaka, and there a migui would be helping. Amalei Reb Yosef. So Reb Yosef said to Rabba, Amai Samach, on what do you want to rely? Ahai Shtara, on this Shtar. And since you want to rely on this Shtar, Hai Shtar, Chas B'Balmahu, we recognize that this Shtar is meaningless. And exactly that is the Machloikas, explains the Rimigash, of Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. How do we view Amigui here? Do we look at this as a migui lahaitzi moment, that now the property should revert to the original owner, and you want to rely on a migui to take that away from him, and we can't rely on a migui lahaitzi moment? That's Rabbi Yosef's opinion. Rav's opinion is that you can. Many Rishonim disagree with the Rimagash because they say that the halacha is that we don't rely on a migui lahaitzi. Rather, the here, it's not considered migui lahaitzi, going back to what I said a moment ago, because the question here is that he was a muchzik, and the migui is only coming to strengthen that chazaka. And the question is, can we rely? So now the question is, how does the halacha look at this event? Does the halacha look at it as a migui lahaitzi moment? And the halacha is that we can't rely on a migui lahaitzi moment, or does the halacha look at this event as just a migui to strengthen the chazaka, which we can rely on? Says the Gemara, there was another episode. Hudam al Chavri, Havi Limei Zuz de Mesiknabach. Give me $100 that you owe me. The high shtara. And this is the shtar that you owe me that money. Amalei, and the other party said, shtar zayofahu. It's a false shtar. Gochin, and the person who had the shtar whispered, Loch Shleil Rabbe, in shtar zayofa. However, mi shtar ma'al yahavali, I had a good shtar v'irchis, and I lost. And therefore, v'imina, inker hai v'yodai kodhu. I need to come to Besdin with something. So I'm coming to Besdin with this shtar. Amar Rava, Malo L'Shakar. We believe him, because he bought Amalei shtar ma'alihu. Amalei Rabbi Yosef. And again, Rabbi Yosef says to Rava, how are you relying on that? Amai kom samach, the high shtar, you want to rely on that shtar? High shtar chas b'almahu. So we had two different stories with two machloikasim. Amar Ravid v'Ravin, Hilchus kavasei the Rava ba'ara. In the situation of the first story, we pass like Rava. And again, the way we'd be learning this Gemara, very geschmack, because in the first story, he had the chazaka has him hold on. We follow the chazaka. And the chazaka is that he's on the property. So since he's on the property, he'll keep the shtar. He'll keep the property. Where the property is currently, that's where we keep it. Where you don't have proof, adequate proof that I owe you the money, look me, so the money stays with me and I don't have to give it. Says the Gemara, who arva? There was a situation with a guarantor. And when we speak about a guarantor in halacha, there are two types of guarantors. There's a regular guarantor, and the halacha of a regular guarantor is that a guarantor signs to loan, and the purpose of his signing to the loan is if the deliver would not have the ability to pay what's owned, you'll go after the guarantor. And then there's an Arav Kavlan. An Arav Kavlan means that the guarantor took on responsibility that the malva will always go, has the right to choose whom he wants to go after. And he could go after the Arav without even going first after the loiva. And what happened here is, the way most Rishonim learned this Gemara, we're speaking about an Arav Kablan. So who Arva? There was an Arav Kablan to a loan. Domalei Loivan, he says to the Loivan, Havli mei zuz de prati l'malve lach. Give me back the 100 zuz that I pay back on your behalf. For hashtara. And here is the shtar that I got, because when a malva gets back the money that he's owed, so he gives back the shtar to the person who paid him. So he's saying, I paid you, and because I paid on your behalf, that's why the shtar was given back to me, and this is the proof. Amalei, so the loiva said to the Arif, yes, I agree that you paid this loan on my behalf, but la paraticha, I already paid you back for what you did on my behalf. Amalei, so he said, lav hadra shakalt minai, so the Arif said, yes, you did pay back on my behalf, but then you took the money again, so you still owe me the money. Says the Gemara, Shalchar of Idibar Avin L'Kameid Abaya. This question was sent to Abaya, Kaigav Namai. What is the halacha in this situation? Shalchle Abaya. Abaya responded, Mai Tbile, Hayido Amma Hilchskavasei the Rabbi of Hilchsk. Didn't you just say that Hilchskavasei the Rabbi of Ara? That we followed that psak, and the truth was that that psak actually represents the same halacha. Because as we explained, what that psak represents is wherever the money is, that's where the money remains. So here the money is in the hands of the loiva, and he doesn't have to pay back the arav. The hecha the ukma zuza lukma, says the Gemara, hanimili. That halacha is the Amalei had reserves from Inoi, that the Arav now is saying, well, you borrowed the money back from me again. So that's a new loan, but that has no bearing on the original loan. And since on the original loan, the Loiv is holding on to the money, the Arav has no claim for the money. But in a case, Amla Hadrinin Loch, Yes, you came to pay me back. But since when you came to pay me back, the money you gave me was not good money. As we often discuss in our shiurim, in the time of Chazal, money wasn't just a dollar is a dollar, a dollar is 100 cents. The money was valued about the quality of the money. And you gave me money that was shifi, that was rubbed out, the sumki, that was discolored. So that means I never got back the money. The isol is put the shtar, and I'm holding on to the shtar. And therefore, since I'm holding on to the shtar, therefore, you owe me the money, and that, and there would be, therefore, a difference. What is the claim between the loiv and the ariv? If the claim by the ariv is that you never paid me back properly, then the ariv could collect the money. If the ariv's claim was, yes, you did pay me back, but then I lent you the money again, and we just didn't want to write another shtar, so we're relying on the original shtar, he would not have to pay him back.